from Frieza and the Saiyans, and you let this little bee take you out. Like, come on, man. This is goodness awful.
Krillin out here taking Yamcha L's. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Herbal Synergies, the shop. I'm your host, Sanjay, and with me, my co-host, as always, Herby.
What up?
What's up, Herb? How you doing, man?
You know, living life. Life living me, the usual.
A little bit of both?
Yeah, dog, as always.
Nice, nice, nice. So, you got a flavor this week, Herby?
Yeah. I'm gonna go with the best dad in the Dragon Ball Super universe. That is Mr. Piccolo. So, backstory: Piccolo.
He really out here raising sand children
and grandchildren. Yeah. What happens is Gohan's too busy trying to figure out Saiyan beetles, and so they asked Piccolo to pick up Pan from school. So he's like, this is shouldn't be more than your more special than your kid. You need to pick up kid. You're getting soft and training and this, that, and the other. And he's really getting mad because he ain't gonna pick up his kid. I guess because he's tired of raising kids that ain't his. Got him for 18 years.
I'm a little upset with Akira. I think Tokuyama is his last name.
Yeah.
But, like, the movie for this specific part of the manga came out months ago. I don't remember how long ago, but it came out a while ago. Why'd you break it into parts? Just release, even if you didn't put it in one chapter, release the whole damn thing. What are you doing? Anyone who watched the movie knows what's about to happen.
Well, I guess they're trying to use this part as like filler, per se.
Well, the problem with this is it's still going to be another month until the next chapter.
Yeah. They got to build the suspense and take the time.
What suspense, bro? Piccolo and Gohan about to get two whole new forms.
Yeah. It'd be like that.
But that was a little rare. I was a little disappointed with the chapter. I was like, it's the movie. I'm not reading this shit. I already saw it.
I don't know. They do tend to differ between the chapter and the movies.
Dragon Ball doesn't. I read Frieza, or I watched the movie Frieza, and then watched the show, and like it's pretty much the same stuff. I even think that even happened in the manga, and it was pretty much the same thing as well.
No, the Super Saiyan Red one, that was a little different in that movie.
I might go through it to see if there's any differences, but like I didn't care enough for it to even bother. Like it's
oh, so now you don't care about getting people a good review?
Well, it's just like it was already out months ago. First of all, the manga is supposed to be out before the visual animations.
Terrible.
So the fact that you're going in reverse is like, all right, well, I don't really know what to do. He might even give up on Goten and Gohan after we get done with this. Because this part of this movie doesn't focus on Goten and Trunks at all. We went from focusing on Goten and Trunks, and now we're about to focus on Gohan and Piccolo for the next, if it continues at this rate, 2 to 3 more chapters.
Yeah.
Yep. And then on the bright side, we'll get occasional glimpses of Broly and Goku and Vegeta.
Oh, yeah.
But on to my flavor, and then we can talk about fucking Dragon Ball or you get two shits. My flavor is coming straight out of Revengers Episode 1. That is the new anime replacing the Sacred Blacksmith. And it is at the very end of the episode when Rizzo was rushing to his fiance, ready to commit seppuku to atone for his sins, and boom, homegirl already stabbed herself through the neck.
I'm a cutie.
Yep.
I was just like, no, damn. I mean, she kind of looked like she had a long face, so I think she was just always sad, but homegirl was depressed, so I don't know. I was like, damn. But that show had a couple moments that could have been my flavor.
Well, she did, you know, go through a bunch of traumatic events at one time.
She did. She did.
So, yeah.
She did.
Anyhow, so what are we talking about first?
Whatever you want, big dog.
I guess we can go ahead and talk about that since it's fresher.
What, Revenger?
Mm-hmm.
Revenger's good, man. Revenger's good. I got another banger!
Maybe.
Revenger, episode 1. Once Upon a Time in Nagasaki. So, we started off with a man, a samurai, taking out 3 guys, no problem. Quick, 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 boom, boom, boom. Dead, dead, dead. Only one guy didn't die. He was alive for a little bit. He took out what looked like resembled a dog tag, and he bit onto it, and then he passed away. Someone grabs the tag and whatever red thing he had in his hand. And I think it's the same red thing that appears later, but I'm not sure because I didn't even know what the hell that thing was, so I didn't pay too much attention to what was on it and whatnot. But we meet Yuen Usui, the operator of trades, or trades operator, something like that. He introduced
himself. Odd jobs man.
Odd jobs man?
Yeah.
And then Raizo Kuruma, our mystery OP samurai from earlier, is confronted by Yuen Usui. And he's basically said, hey, I was hired to check on what was going on. There's a guy down here. And Raizo opens up a little bit. It was like, I killed a man. I was like, well, hiding down here ain't going to do much. But it was actually my job. I was like, oh, so why are you hiding? It was someone I knew. He was important to me. And I don't know how to face the people that were close to him. So, Yuen talks him. Yuen really just listened. And, like, Raizo kind of, like, talked himself into, like, all right, I need to go back. So, he decides to start going back. And 3 guys show up to confront my man, Raizo. And they didn't look like they were there to escort him, as he stated, which very shortly after got confirmed when they revealed that Raizo killed his own father-in-law. Yeah, let that sink into your head. His father-in-law for bringing opiates? What was it? Opium?
Opium. Yeah.
Which is what exactly? Isn't that a drug?
Yeah, they use it to make heroin and what's the other one? Poppy. It's like poppy and other stuff. Well, heroin poppies, pretty much. Black tar, heroin, all that crazy stuff.
Gotcha. So he was told that the father-in-law, whose name is, I should have it down here somewhere, but I don't think I do. So the father-in-law was...
That's because I didn't say it. And they just kept referring to him as father-in-law.
I think freaking... No, I think Yuen said it later.
It might have said later, but...
But I didn't write it down.
I know you said the guy of the head clan man.
Yeah, Matsumine Jonoshin.
Yeah, but never really got the father-in-law's name, so I just kept putting him as father-in-law.
I put father-in-law to a lot. So, the father-in-law was bringing in opium, and then they pull out their guns on him. They're like, it's going to be an interesting story when you're going to have an interesting time when you meet him in the afterlife. And then Raizo hears a girl's voice and says, jump or you will die. So he jumps into the river, which he does get shot, and homegirl fishes him out. So when he comes to, it's Yuen and this girl, and she's taking care of him, and he's like designing like silverware and stuff like that, but decorated with like black and gold. So then he drops the bomb on Raizo, like, hey, your father-in-law, he wasn't actually betraying whatever lifestyle you guys were living. He was actually trying to expose Matsumine Jonoshin, who is the real person bringing in opium, and used you to kill him because he was about to expose him, and he hired us, and that's how I know all this. So whatever shame Raizo already felt was then amplified, because not only did he kill his father-in-law, but his father-in-law was innocent and honorable, therefore making him feel dishonorable for killing him and putting his wife through that. Or fiancé, I should say. So Yuen tells him, soaking about it ain't gonna do no good. Let's do something about it. So they set up a plan, and Raizo tells them there's no need to worry about an escape plan for Matsumine. He trusts his guards, which will come back into play later on. So he sneaks Yuen, the girl, and a guy all into, let's say, the clan for the sake of the story, because I don't really know where Raizo comes from. I don't think that was really said. Or is it called to the Demio of Satsuma? Is that era just called Satsuma?
I don't know, dog.
I think it's called I think it's called Nagasaki.
Yeah.
Okay, Nagasaki. I think it is Nagasaki. All right, so he snuck him into Nagasaki, and they're going over the plan, the layouts, and how, like, there are a ton of guards outside, but once you're inside, it's really easy for a small group to move around. And they tell him, like, hey, you might want to chill here. You don't want things to go wrong with your injuries. So he does stay there. They leave, and there's one more big muscular guy that I've seen on an Instagram reel with them. And they go, and, like, everyone's tied up. Well, before everyone's tied up, the Matsumine and his group of misfits are having drinks, laughing, and basically making fun of Raizo and the father-in-law. And once he runs out of sake, homeboy goes to get sake. And that's when Neo is her name, uses the thread on the kite to ensnare my man by his neck and strangle him to death. That was almost a flavor. Homeboy that was chilling in the back playing with a card, when other two heard the crash, they came running out, and homeboy sliced up Baldy with those cards and killed him. Okay, that was almost a flavor. And my man Yuen came in here with a gold piece of wrap paper with what I assume was adhesive on the other end of it, and like stuck it on this dude's face, and then like revealed his tattoo of Saint Mary and started praying, and then he died. And I'm like, that was almost a flavor. But when they went to confront Matsumine, they saw a ladder and an escape route, and was like, oh damn, he lied. Well, he lied because guess what? Y'all may have eaten the cake, but my man got the cherry on top. So Raizo meets Matsumine at the exit of the escape route, and then he asks him, do you want to explain yourself? So Matsumine pulls out a gun and is like, oh, I guess that's your answer, and then cuts him, no problem. Homeboy with the cards was a little upset because he took their target, but buff guy was like, as long as we ring the bell, it doesn't really matter how the job gets done, but we do have a bell to ring. So Neo goes to ring the bell. That's when we get introduced to her name. And we go to Raizo, who's running to his wife. He took Matsumune's blade, and he was ready to kill himself, but I guess he wanted to apologize to her first and then make atone for his sins by killing himself. But by the time he got there, homegirl was dead. She took her own life. She couldn't do it.
Yeah. Yui. So, I do think it's straight up kind of strange how Rizzo didn't even like ask his father-in-law. I was like, hey, you doing drugs? Like, what, dealing drugs? Like, wouldn't you have a better grasp of knowing your father-in-law? Like,
he just blindly followed that order.
Yeah, I was like, really? Just didn't ask? So I'm like, man, that's kind of crazy there.
And you know what? He didn't ask Ewan too much into detail on how he knows all this and if it's even true. He just kind of followed that as well.
He didn't ask any type of questions, which I don't understand.
Which makes me think what Matsumine and his crew were saying about him just being his only talent is with a sword. Kind of true. This guy has no thinking power.
Yeah. I did like how the Josine got cut down and then he fell down before you put the sword into the scabbard. I was like, yeah. He didn't do that cheesy little, let me slice you. And then when I put
the sword in, then the cut shows up.
Yeah, or you fall down, but he sliced him, and then the dude fell down. I was like, oh, okay, I can get down with that. Not too cheesy.
I mean, but he was still, in a cheesy way, too quick.
Yeah.
My man screamed, had, an air pulse going around him, which intimidated Matsumine, and was just, slash! I was like, oh, okay. You quick. Yeah. I understand. Homie, you bad.
Bad. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Say less.
No, we got a pretty solid lineup as far as anime right now. Eden might be not the weakest one, but the most calm one. Which is saying a lot because it's not that calm.
Eden's more so I feel like a psychological thriller.
Yeah, it's almost like yeah, I think that would be the best way to describe it.
And it's you're thinking what? Why is this, that, and this, and the other? Yeah, so. But yeah, I enjoyed the first episode. Yeah, but that was the main question I had. You didn't even ask about your father-in-law. You just assumed he was dealing the dope. Did you not see dope around the house? Was it no shady dealings that he had to sneak out for?
He didn't even... he killed the other two people with him on the spot.
I mean, no witnesses.
I guess. So. But yeah, if you were doing something to right a wrong, you wouldn't have needed to worry about what this is.
Yeah. So I don't even know. I'm like, really? Yeah. Crazy. But yeah. So.
What next, El Capitan?
Well, let's knock this little mangas out the way here. Do a little jutsu. Not really much there either. The fighting starts, and they talk about how Angel Lady, she didn't notice her because of love or something. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah, whatever is possessing Megumi's sister is in love with Sukuna.
Yeah, and love is something of the hate, opposite of hate. And then, hate cannot trump love and this, that, and the other craziness.
Craziness even started.
Yeah, and she wants to marry Sukuna. And he's like, I'll marry you if you beat me. I'm like, what?
Yeah, and he agreed to it. I don't care what you do when I'm dead. I'm like, bro, she's okay with this.
Yeah, so then we find out she has this great curse technique, Yorozo. She can construct stuff and recreate stuff of almost any substance she can recognize. And she has a special liquid metal that she also uses to create armor. So I'm like, man, that is essentially a great ability to have. So, yeah, I'm excited for the next one. The fight would look like it'd be cool once it gets animated. So, yeah, anything to add with that one?
I'm actually really, also really excited about this fight coming up, and it's mainly because I want to know what Megumi's impact on the fight is going to be.
Yeah, whether he's going to be strong enough to hold off not killing his sister.
Yeah, because we still don't know what makes Yuji different enough to where he can suppress Sukuna, and the only hint on what the only hint as to why that is what Sukuna said last chapter about Yuji being from that time.
Yeah, that clan or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see. So, yeah, that's Bath Part 2 was that episode. And we're going to a little bit of Super here. Chapter 91, the Red Ribbon Revival.
Yeah, let's read Super.
So Piccolo picks up his granddaughter Pan from school, and Pan's playing Great Saiyaman. And so Pan, she ends up chasing a frog off the cliff. I'm like, oh man, I'm like, she can't fly. But we find out that also Pan wants to be a superhero. And then Piccolo agrees to train her. And Krillin's in the meeting about Hito and the Red Ribbon Army and how they want to recruit him. And they end up picking up Hito from the school. And my man knew of everything because he made a modified wasp. And they were keeping tabs on him. And so Krillin, which I don't understand what Krillin's really doing. Like, he, it's like he has superpowers when he wants to, but the other times he doesn't. And so Hito sent out the wasp to knock Krillin out. And the guy from the Red Ribbon Army is offering Hito $1 billion per android created. I'm like, oh man, that's pretty nice money there. And Krillin ends up fighting the wasps, which I don't understand. Why didn't he just key blast it and get it out the way?
I don't know. Krillin out here doing the most.
Yeah, like he could just destroy that thing and then kept him moving. Then so Hito asks what's the biggest obstacle and says it's the people that took down Cell. He's like, didn't Hercule do that? And he's like, no, not Hercule. And my head thought right here, why hasn't anyone else looked into this? If the Red Ribbon Army knows, why does no one else think about it? Like, really? Y'all just let this man pull the wool over your eyes? This Hercule fellow?
Hey, man. Ignorance is bliss.
I feel like it's like the trolliest thing.
I mean, the announcer at the tournament knows it wasn't Hercule. It's like, it wasn't really Hercule, was it? It was definitely
It makes no sense. Why did this? I feel like it started off as like a bad joke, and he just let the joke keep running.
That man has an image to uphold. How dare you?
I'm talking about the writer.
Oh. That man has an image to uphold. How dare you?
Like, it's like the biggest troll job in history, knowing that y'all seen Hercule go and started smacking dude, and he just got smacked like a fly. And then you're like, oh, no, dude, it must have been a fluke. No, man, you saw that man get his tail whooped.
Plus the irony in the fact that they call him Mr. Satan and they treat him like a saint.
Yeah. It just blows my mind still. But then they acknowledge that it's Boma of Capsule Corp. And he kind of tried to feed into this whole alien narrative that they're just aliens just waiting to take over the planet and they're acting like superheroes. I'm like, that makes no sense because they are superheroes. And so
to be a child and that gullible, to be a genius and that gullible.
Yeah. So then the wasp ended up coming back because Krillin had smacked it away. And it takes out Krillin in like one shot. I'm like, how I take you out, dog? You survive ass whoopings from Frieza.
I mean, like, not all of them.
Most of them from Frieza and the Saiyans. And you let this little bee take you out? Like, come on, man. This is goodness awful.
Krillin out here taking Yamcha elves.
That's what I'm saying. He's the new Yamcha. So then Pan and Piccolo spar. He's like, oh, you already got more talent than Gohan. And then this is where my flavor shows up. How Piccolo goes to Gohan and he's like, oh, gets mad at him. Like, this isn't more important than your child. And this and the other. And he gives him a suit to train in. And then Piccolo goes back and meditates. And he is attacked by Retro. So looks like it's about to heat up. Gotta wait a whole nother month to see what happens.
Yes, sir.
What you got to fill in there?
We can talk about Boruto. Might as well bang out all the mangas.
Nah, I'm saying what you got to fill in with Dragon Ball.
Nothing. Z. I already watched it.
Yeah, because you definitely didn't read it.
I already watched it. Nothing.
But all right.
All I have to say is, after saying nothing twice, all I have to say is, I don't really care for the two new forms we're about to see.
I don't really care for you. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah. Chapter 79, Boruto Omnipotence. So, this one really... I was like, really? This is what you could do, Sarada? She tells Sasuke Konohamaru to be careful pursuing Kawaki. And I'm like, really? You weren't even careful when you approached him the first time and got my boy sliced up. Like, come True. On, man.
True.
Yeah. So then we found out that Armando has a code that can shut down Kawaki. And so then Ida, she leaves and flies to go get Kawaki. And eventually she gets to Kawaki. And he wants her to take out Boruto. And he gets into this whole monologue like, woe is me. Why had to be a nobody like me? This, that, and the other. I'm a nobody. No one's going to miss me if I were to die or something. And Momoshiki, he wants him to take out Momoshiki and protect Lord Seventh in the village. Yeah, and he's done with his pity party, and he still wants to kill Boruto. And so Ida reaches out and touches Kawaki, and then all of a sudden, a big old spear light comes through. I'm like, oh, okay, that's something different there. What happened there?
Fucking spear bomb.
Yeah, it goes around the earth and everything. And do you think it's Earth?
I thought, yo, for a split second, I swear, and like, I even went back to check to see if I was crazy. For a split second, I thought Ida just took Kawaki to the moon.
Yeah, I was like, oh, is he? I was like, is this Earth they're on? I'm not sure if they ever called it Earth. I can't remember. It's probably Earth.
I think it is just Earth.
Yeah. So the light happens, and there's like some sort of like resonance happens, and apparently they switch places, Boruto and Kawaki, and it's a god power, the Shinjutsu, and Momoshiki is the only one that like knows this. So he essentially told him, like, yeah, it's a god power. She doesn't even know she's like controlling it or how to control it. And so I'm like, ooh, okay. And what brought upon it was Kawaki's desire to become reality. So that's what precipitated the switching of the places.
Trading places.
Yeah, which I'm like, man, like, oh, who really knew this? And yeah, the last part kind of tripped me out too. When they're like, because apparently only some people aren't affected by it. And I think it's Sarada is not affected by it. Ida and Kawaki's not affected by it, and Boruto's not.
It's got to also be, like, I don't know when they'll ever come back into the picture, but it has to be Naruto and Hinata too, right?
I don't know. And I was thinking, how is Sarada not affected?
Yeah, but she literally has nothing special about her other than the Sharingan, which Sasuke has, and Sasuke was affected.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm like... And Sasuke even had the Rinnegan in this. Like, I don't, even though the Rinnegan eye gone, like, some of the tissues should still be in there.
Yeah, I mean, and Sasuke's Sharingan is far more developed.
And advanced. Like, he could do the Mangekyo. Or maybe it's because her eye's so weak that allows her not to be affected?
No, because then, like, there are people with, like, regular-ass eyes that are affected.
I don't know.
Because like the only thing about Sarada that would make sense is the Sharingan, but even that doesn't make sense because of fucking Sasuke. So it's like, what is it about Sarada that like this isn't affecting her?
And maybe, okay, I'm thinking now that, because remember Sumare and Sarada wasn't affected by Ida charm anyway?
Oh, you think Ida might not be, I mean, the other girl might not be affected either?
That could be a possibility.
If she's not, all right, so there's really no, they didn't explain why they weren't affected by her either. But if Sumire isn't affected by this scenario, then that could be the that can be the missing piece right there.
Yeah, but we don't know. Someone will have to let us know something. And it probably won't even make sense because nothing ever makes sense.
No, as far as I'm concerned right now, this is a plot hole.
Yeah. And then so the end, when they're like, oh, did you get Naruto back? And Kawaki tells Ida to tell him that Boruto killed him. And I'm like, what? What? My God.
He's going to keep him there, bro. Or he's going to kill them. I don't know. Like, but killing them, it's, I don't get what's going on. I don't get the plan anymore.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess Boruto goes away and trains for like 3 years and comes back to find the Hidden Leaf destroyed and has to fight Kawaki. I don't know.
You think we're I guess we are approaching the time skip. I mean, we have to be.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's
cuz they're not going to show us Boruto running from the leaf for like 3 years.
You could. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess they could. Little montage every 6 months, the chain of events.
Where he almost gets caught and flees again.
Boruto Shippuden.
I don't know.
You I'm are like, my man. Friend. Nada.
No, not even.
instead of chasing Boruto to save him, Kawaki's chasing Boruto to kill him.
Yeah. Oh, pretty much God. What he wanted to do anyway.
And I really want to know, now that I know how they end up fighting each other, when Boruto first started, like I kind of have an idea of how that's going, like how that ends up being what happens. I really want to know more now than ever. Where's Sarada in this situation? Where's Naruto in this situation? I love Hinata. I hate what they did with her figure, but I love Hinata. Where's Hinata in this situation?
Like, locked up.
And how do they change the pictures? Like, there are literal pictures of Boruto in Naruto's house. Clothing and everything. Like, how are they... But then again, they thought Kawaki had a messed up eye. Oh, was his face hidden the entire time? I'm so confused.
Yeah, I think everything just switched. So, I don't know. It just... The recollection. So, I guess whenever they see Boruto in Boruto's place, they think it's Kawaki. Type deal.
Like, I haven't said this in a while, but I need the new next chapter. I need to figure out what direction we're going with this.
Yeah.
Boruto's on a run. Is Sarada gonna go with him? Because, like, it ain't gonna be good for her mental health to stay.
Yeah. Something's gonna have to happen where they let someone know something. I feel like she might tell Shikamaru or something. And Shikamaru might be apt to believe it based off of Ida's power.
But Shikamaru would be the best bet. But he can also just as well is like... And is Amado affected?
We don't know because they didn't say anything about it.
I know. But he won't actually help the situation because Shikamaru just won't believe him.
But what they could do is they could capture Boruto and then he could say the cut down sequence... And if Boruto still moved after that, then they're like, oh, this isn't really Kawaki.
Yeah, and also, Ino can do the searching memories thing.
But everything's switched anyway.
No, on Boruto and Kawaki, it isn't.
Yeah.
If she searched Boruto and then, like, had enough evidence to convince Shikamaru that, like, hey, we need to search Kawaki, that could be a thing. But then it's like, hey, I gotta explain to this entire village that Boruto is the Hokage's son when they believe it's Kawaki.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm like, just look at the hair. Look at the hair. Look at his eyes. Go, what are we doing here?
Essentially, it's I think it's a genjutsu.
It's like an advanced.
Yeah.
A real jutsu.
Yeah, so. But yeah, all right. We're going to move along to some Eden of the East here.
After you.
Yeah, then we'll follow that up with some high card and finish with the Magical Revolution.
Yo, I wanted the next episode so bad.
Oh, yeah, I watched it already.
Damn.
Nah, I'm kidding. But,
double damn.
Eden of the East, searching for the path already lost. So, my man Takizawa wakes up from his nightmare of Johnny ripping a man in half. I'm like, oh, man, that's kind of morbid. And,
what a way to wake up.
Yeah. So then Saki, he asked Saki, who was here? Anyone here when I was down? And she's like, oh, there was no one. I'm like, you just seen a lady grow wings to fly out of there. Why you gotta lie? And then so we come to find out that Osakai's bag was actually stolen, which I had pitched that idea.
Yes, you did.
I was like, eh, maybe it's not him. Maybe his bag was just stolen. And, you know, I was right. And he turned his phone off because he's being hazed by his other co-workers. And so then was the Osakai doesn't want the team to work with Takizawa for some reason because his pride won't let him. I'm like, really? Your pride? You mad because he took your girl. But if he really took her, was she really yours to begin with?
Or be cold.
I mean, it's the truth.
Man was in love.
You can't take someone that don't want to be yours.
True.
Like, that's like... Dang. But it's like, yeah, it's like you just at some point you just gotta cut your losses and realize that she won't the one for you because she would already reciprocated the feelings, and when you asked her to go out places and meet up stuff and she kept avoiding you, you know, you gotta take the hint, my guy.
Take the hint.
He ain't the first one to be did like that, nor will he be the last one. But there's someone out there for you, King.
At some point, somewhere, somehow.
Yeah.
Maybe on a lonely Reddit app.
Lonely people's Reddit.
Yeah.
Dang.
That's a website he was on, right? Like some website for
lonely. Yeah, lonely link up people.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So. Yeah. So then. I think he's just pretty much jealous, and he tries to use Eden to find out who Taki is. But a little bit before that, he leaves the office, and he's like walking through, sulking, and then he sees Taki and Saki show up, and he's like, you know, being real stalker mode, looking at him, and he gets Eden. And then so Taki shows up with the phone to the office. He's like, I want to get the data off this phone at their meeting. And they talk about this guy called Panties. He's a consultant programmer that they use.
Freaking Panties.
Yeah. And then so Osakai, he gets people responding to his quote requests. And he's like, oh, this is so-and-so. No, that's so-and-so. Like, no one has a definitive idea on who he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So then He's on a mission to expose Osakai. So then we find out that the guy who's the main guy with the glasses, I forget his name. He wants the girls to find the information on the phone that he's trying to get to, so essentially spying.
Yeah, I'm terrible names. Asking me who that guy is, as far as I'm concerned, he wasn't even important.
Yeah. So then they go there, and they're trying to discover the origin of the phone. And my man tells Panties through the door after Panties sent the women to go get some items for him. He's like, oh, I'm a Celestial. Like, oh, I know this and the other. And, like, the origin of the phone and Takizawa, da-da-da. And he kind of, like, dangles the information in front of him to get him to open up. And we find out, like, he was looking into, like, the NITs, the people that they call, the computer people. He's like, he wants to find them. So I'm like, huh, Takizawa's already part of this.
Yeah, he is.
And then we conclude the episode after he let him in there. So,
did it end right after that?
Yeah, they got in and he started talking for a little bit and they left on out.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All those names that came up on the Eden thing.
They were
just crazy.
Yeah.
Shit about to get wild.
Yeah, one of them I recognized, like, oh, that was one of the names of the passport he used.
One of them did sound familiar. I was like, but why has he got so many?
Man's a spy. That's how it goes.
All right, High Card, Episode 2, Make a Choice. So Five of Hearts said, shoot me. Like, we picked up back on the standoff, and Five of Hearts just straight up said, shoot me, which made me think, all right, like, this guy is kind of like, there's something going on. Calories high. I think there's something, like, energy-wise that it's involved with his ability. But, and then a car is approaching, and Five of Hearts guy says, Vijay. Get him, and like the vines catch Finn, and we wake up to an old dude, another guy, and a girl in the room. The old dude pours Finn a cup of tea that actually turns out to be really good, and they looked up homie's record while they were explaining the situation to him, and like knew everything he was got into. So I guess he's got a record. And the old man was explaining what they do. Like, hey, there's 52 of these cards that we know of. We're collecting them in secret. People could really do harm with these. And blah, yada, yada, yada. And they're like, why are you telling him all that? So we go over to the scene where we see a guy with a muscle card enters the fray. And yeah, he's, like, impervious to bullets. And, like, he left a dent in the ground. And the old guy, we go back to the old guy explaining, hey, cards choose players. You can't just, so it, like, it leads you to believe that you can't just find a card and be able to use it. Like, the card has to be, like, compatible with you. And you see something like that, and, like, it just kind of makes you think, well, okay, so what you're saying is the main character of the show is going to be able to use multiple cards? Is that what you're trying to say?
So I did think it was interesting too how he phrased it that we know exists right now, as in like, oh, there's probably more than 52 at some point. So I did think that wording was important.
I do too. And let me tell you what my theory is. So like the map, they pulled up the map at some point when he was making his explanation, and there looked like kind of like in Black Clover, they seemed to be like a Clover Kingdom.
The Sword Kingdom.
Yeah.
Lothan, Siflium, Spada, and Pulu Stick.
Which have the symbol of the four suits of cards. Kind of like similar to Black Clover. Now, these cards came from one area. If we assume these cards came from one of the kingdoms and spread across the world, then it could be possible that each kingdom has a set of cards like these hidden somewhere. But it's also possible that the set of cards came from, like, some other place that was, like, in the center of it all, or, like, just off on its own destination, and the cards scattered.
Yeah, it just came over somewhere.
But if it was, it had to be, this place had to be nearby, because within reason, I think, for now, until shown otherwise, I'm just going to assume all 52 cards are within those four regions.
Yeah.
So, Marble Guy, ended up, his name was Bobby Balls, and he worked for a different, he worked for a mafia, is what they said. And the Two of Spades actual ability was called Neo Nunambu, which I don't know what the hell that means. Did you look that up a little or anything?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Neo Nunambu. Like, I would have just called it Revolver Card or something. Like, it's like something cool, but like simpler. I don't even know what any of that means. Neo Nunambu. But an example of simpler, Vijay, is that his name? Vijay?
The green fruit.
The green card. That's what it is. Literally the green card. I still don't know what number it is, but I have to imagine it's a clover.
Yeah.
So, Chris, who is the calories high guy, explains his card, and he is basically immortal when it's active. But he says the only thing is it makes him really hungry. So I'm speculating that he's only immortal as long as he still has carbs to burn into calories.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So they're eating at a dessert shop, and this bald guy is making a fuss because I guess the timid guy spilled the dessert on his shirt. And Finn immediately, like, tried to step in and help him out, but he was about to get hit, and Chris intervened and, like, stopped the punch and, like, pinned him down on the table and was like, I'll let you go if you, or, like, I'll teach the kid if you forgive him. But it's like, all right, just let me go. And the guy left. And Chris continued to be flirtatious with that attractive woman he was with.
Yeah.
So, the day is ending. Finn gets, he ends up accepting that job offer that the old guy offered him. And he goes to talk with the Sunfield owner that takes care of all the kids. And he was like, hey, I got a job. Let me help you guys out. And it's like, oh, so you did here. Money isn't everything. Just make sure you're happy. Have fun. Blah, blah, blah. So they had this, like, a moment to themselves. Finn goes to, I guess, goes to his apartment to go to sleep. And Chris shows up bright and early to pick him up because they're on a job. Finn finds out.
He didn't even go to sleep.
What's up?
I said Chris didn't even go to sleep.
Yeah, he didn't, bro. He had the woman's earrings in the car. So, what you doing in a company car? It's like, oh, you're a virgin. He's like, shut up.
Yeah.
So Finn found out very quickly that they weren't on the sales job. They were on the car job. And they're chasing an armored vehicle. The cops know all about these guys because the detective called them in. It's like, hey, we got a strange guy. We need strange guys to handle this strange guy. You know what I'm saying? Strange guys. No, nothing. Okay, I'll stop. So they're chasing the car, and Chris goes, you might want to sit back since it's his first one. And Finn's like, nah, I went in on this. And like, he activates his card and pulls out the gun. He's aiming to bust the tire, but Muscle Guy, surprise, he's back. Busts open the back, then jumps on the car, and then, like, at a moment, Finn sees his face, he recognizes Muscle Dude as the timid guy in the dessert shop. And he's like, oh, you're, and, like, dude's like, you don't know nothing, kid, and blah, blah, blah. So it turns into this big, get the guy off the car thing, and, like, Chris is like, you're not thinking smart, because Finn's trying to shoot him, and it's not working. So when he gets to a certain point, Finn just slams on the brakes and slams the dude flying into a pillar in which, or I think I said Chris slammed the brakes, but in case I say Finn, Chris, in which Finn gets out of the car and tries to take him on, not working. And at that point, I thought that Finn just kind of wasn't using his card right, because I was like, come on, you're the main guy. Your card has to be better than that. It can't just be boom, 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 right? Like, I don't know. Thoughts?
I just thought it was just maybe gives him enhanced eye abilities, and he's just a shooter, but I don't know. He just wasn't using his head.
Maybe. So Chris jumps in. It's like, you're not using... Well, Chris actually drives in and smacks homeboy with the car. It's like, you're just not using your head, newbie. And while Muscle Dude is trying to beat the crap out of Chris, he's timing his driving perfectly to ram him into the water. And by the time Musclehead notices, Chris has his hands on him and keeps him stuck. Which, genius, because the guy, if you notice by the footprint he left in the pavement, or concrete, or whatever you want to call it, he's actually really heavy as well. So the guy with the extra weight couldn't actually survive, and Chris was about to drown, but my boy Finn, with his excellent eyesight, shot holes into the windshield. And all's well that ends well there. They retrieve the Three of Hearts. And we were wrapping up at the end, saying the job well done, where they were like, well, it took you guys so long, can you really call it a job well done? And they started making fun of Finn. It's like, not bad for the lowest one. It's like, what do you mean the lowest one? Like, you're a two of spades. That's the lowest card, because, you know, aces are aces. But I was like, nah, but what if his two is a deuce? And we all know deuces are wild.
That's one way to look at it, but I was thinking about it in terms of, like, if you played the game Spades, maybe if you say, like, play, and then you're like Spades or something, like, he's actually the third strongest card. So
it depends. Hey, some games he's the strongest card.
Yeah, it depends. So I'm like,
it depends on what card game you're playing. But I was like, nah, I know what. Main character has the weakest card. I mean, like, I'm not seeing the setup here.
That would be one of the all-time leadiest. Like, you'd be like, okay, I can definitely get behind him being the weakest one.
It would definitely be different, and like, I'm okay with different, but like, for now, you can't convince me there's not something else going on with that card.
Yeah, or meow.
Yeah, but that was another good episode. I enjoyed the episode. I will try to get better at explaining these things, guys. Promise. I actually wrote a lot of notes. Just don't know how to get through them as eloquently as Irby. Or elegantly.
Maybe I don't even take notes. I just try to remember stuff off the top of my head.
Nah, you take notes, dog.
Maybe. Yeah. So, on to the magical revolution. Of the reincarnated princess and the genius young lady.
I lost you for a second.
Yeah, just my computer's going doing weird. The screen keeps timing out. But yeah, magical revolution. So it starts off, the magic definition of the monster and commoner, which we'll get that shows up later. So we get some of Cyan. Lonnie's origin story, how she was in an orphanage, and while she tells her story, there is a commoner. She falls to the ground and she's harassed by a group of boys. And we find out that Algard's grandfather tried to change the kingdom, but he did it half-heartedly, so no change was brought about. And then we flash to Lonnie talking to Ilya because she's concerned she's a vampire. And Ilya hits her with, I do think this is sound advice. And I was like, I'm going to have to start living by this. If you fret too much, happiness will escape you. And I'm like, huh, that's really, really nice. You know, instead of looking at stuff, you know, bad days or whatever, you think they'll be forever. They're not. That girl, you know, I ain't going to do it to him. But, you know where I was going with that.
Matt, I got to tell you what I told him the other day, if you remind me.
Yeah, that's an off-air one.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, it's brighter. Sometimes you got to let people just fall out your life. So anyhow, because they don't bring you happiness. And someone infiltrates the villa. I'm like, ooh, okay. Someone's there. And they're walking through and Ilya, there's like gas. Someone warned her to jump out the window, so she does, to escape the fog. And Algard is there and he's attacking. I'm like, this little twit here. And so he ends up shooting Ilya. I'm like, oh no. And then he strings up Lonnie and stabs her in the chest. I was like, oh, he's going for the Magicite. So I'm like, man. So then we flash to the lecture hall. And Mirowitz Cheturus is talking to Anas. He's really not saying much. And she's like zoning out. And then I'm like, something's fishy here. Mm-hmm. We find out that it's really just a ploy to buy time. And then at the like last, when she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go find Tilty and talk with her and Yuffie. And he grabs her and he tries to make her sound like she's crazy. And he's like, oh, she's going crazy. Everyone restrain this woman. And like, and this, that, and the other. But really, he's the one that was holding her. Because mm-hmm. he was trying to make it seem like she was grabbing him. And then she's like, oh, get your hands off me. And like, anyone with the two salts was looking at altercation, like, something seemed a little fishy there. Because why is he grabbing her, talking about she grabbing him? I would have been like, no, guy. You're the predator in this case.
You wild right now.
Yeah, so... So then she summons up the dragon power and pretty much body slams the boy to the ground. I'm like, whoo, okay. And so after this, they call her a monster. And the royal guard's trying to subdue her. I'm like, why are y'all trying to subdue the princess? This is the princess.
This is the princess of your kingdom. Like, this is the king's daughter. What are you guys doing?
Like, even though she renounced the throne, I'm like, it's the princess. She still is in some sort of esteem.
Where's the etiquette here? I think I said that wrong. Horribly wrong.
The etiquette?
Yes, that.
Etiquette, yeah. I'm like, come on. So they try to block her, and Yuffie helps. And Tilty also uses her magic to help her escape. And then they fly to the scene, which... By the way, Yuffie using her wind power to fly is something completely I don't think they've seen before.
No, we haven't.
So it's like thinking outside of the box. Like, Honest showed her different ways to do things, and she's thinking outside the box and thinking for herself. So I'm like, okay, she's grown as a character. She's getting stronger.
Stronger, so, better, faster.
And so they get to the scene. And Algard is implanting the magic site into himself. I'm like, oh, this diabolical deviant here. And they administer first aid. Don't know if Lonnie's going to make it, but she has a chance because she's a vampire. So we shall see if she makes it through. And so then they start talking. Algard speaks. He's like, oh, I don't let emotion govern my decisions. And I'm like, oh, You twit.
He's like, you sure about that?
Yeah. So he's like, oh, then he calls them both monsters for seeking the powers of monsters. And I would like to say that, like, I don't think she was seeking power of monster. I think she wanted the Magnesite to experiment, and the dragon just happened to curse her. And I think the curse gave her the ability to use the dragon's power as well. Not too sure, but that was my two cents. Like, hers was kind of earned versus his was, like kind of stolen.
I admit, Al is a scumbag, a dick. He's being a real Sasuke right now.
Yeah.
A real pre-Shippuden Sasuke.
I'm like, man, like...
But the amount of mental fortitude it needs to shove a physical object through your chest into your heart area, I was just like, yo, my man, wild right now.
Yeah, I could do it.
I can't.
I had to. If we were in a magical world and it was like, here's a power boost, I'm like, all right.
If you put me in that kind of scenario, maybe. But for now, I can't make that call.
I mean, if it was like, oh, we need a power boost, so you're going to slaughter everybody, I'd be like, all right, well, I want to live. I'd be like that. But, you know. So.
Fair.
So, yeah. maybe different circumstances. So. Yeah, because essentially, I thought his was worse because he killed like a human being, and essentially she killed a dragon in defense of the kingdom because the dragon was going to come destroy everything if she didn't get up out the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of had a question, like, why did he say he could use the power of the vampire to seize the kingdom? I'm like, it's yours, bro. You're going to be the king. like why? Why do this?
I don't know. Like, I guess he just... I have no idea what the hell he's doing.
But later on, he did state that, like, the people wouldn't follow a king unless he had power and this, that, and the other. I'm like, oh, man. Speaking like a real Sasuke here. And so... Yeah, he talks about how people actually wanted Honest to be... the ruler, and she didn't have any magical ability or anything along those lines, but she was like better suited for it, but she didn't have any power, so she couldn't do it. And so she
said, speaking like a real Sasuke here.
Yeah,
because hey, he's being a little Sasuke. Stop.
Yeah,
tension whore.
And so yeah, and so he's like, oh, I had to become a monster to catch up with a monster. I'm like, how is she a monster? Like, you had this plan since before she was doing that.
Nah, but I love that she was like, despite all this, you really think you got what it takes to beat me?
Especially when we're on equal footing.
I'm a gold level adventurer, and I just got a power boost. Are you even thinking?
Yeah. So... because then we find out that there's been some stuff before, and the nobles kind of like rejected the idea of non-powered people being equals and this and the other, which happens to everything. Everyone wants to have power, but doesn't want to delegate power to other people. So, yeah. And then this was a line she talks about too, how she's like, yeah, you threw away your right, and Algard picked it up, and then she was like, oh, if I'm going to, let's see, I'm gonna pick up the future that you just threw away, I'm gonna pick up the future that you threw away, and then like I'll pick up your present that you just threw away. I'm like, oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fight starts. I'm like, oh, okay, finna get down, baby.
Yo, about to be lit.
Yeah. I was like, oh, she powered up. She did a little stance and went to swing it.
Yeah, I'm like,
man. I'm like, man, listen. I'm ready, boy.
It's probably going to be, like, overwhelming, too. It's probably not even going to be close.
It might not. I definitely think she shouldn't let him hang around, because then she won't... Because I think time's of the essence, because she'll have to have some time to save Lonnie if she finishes it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm like, okay, man. Yeah. So hopefully it will go by.
So you got anything else on your mind, Herb Dog?
No, dog. Got nothing.
All right. I just want to say real quick how terribly and really, really just disgusted I am with the new Solo Leveling release date.
Yeah. It's coming out next. Yizzles.
Every day that I looked up the release date, it said Crunchyroll is saying, or whatever is saying, the second week of March. And then the third week of March approaches, and it's like, 2024 is looking like a good year.
Yeah.
Damn, we're not even halfway through this year yet.
Well, look at it this way. Maybe they'll get it and be really right.
That it better be really right.
Maybe they didn't want to put out an inferior product.
You better not.
Yeah.
Got delayed a whole year. This ain't a game. It's a season. Yeah. It's a 12 to 24 episodes of an anime. What are you doing to me? At least give me the first half. All right, but that's all. That's all I had.
Yeah.
Still upset. But, you good, Irby?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm dandy.
All right, well, my
name's Randy.
That's going to do it for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed, like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch you next time. Peace!
Peace.